Now, for those of you who've not been to LSE before, maybe you've not been to an open day, or you're still deciding whether or not you want to accept our offer, I'm going to tell you a little bit over the next 15 minutes. It's going to be fairly whirlwind about what LSE is and why we think you should study with us. So let's begin with something very basic, very introductory. What is LSE? Well, it is, of course, the London School of Economics and Political Science. And the and political science is very important because that reflects 70% of what we teach here at the school. 70% of what LSE teaches is in the qualitative essay-based subjects. 30% is economics or maths or statistics. So it's the minority of what we deliver, but perhaps what we're best known for. Far more than just economics. Founded in 1895, so we're reasonably well established now, not desperately old, but reasonably well established, founded by a group called the Fabians, who of course are still around today. They wanted to create an institution that would train the policymakers of tomorrow, and that's still very much, we hope, what we're doing today. We joined the University of London in 1900, so we've been a member of the University of London for most of our existence. University of London is a very large organisation, a federal organisation. We're just a small part of that. On a day-to-day basis, you probably won't recognise that you're part of the University of London. You're taught here at LSE, following our curriculum, using our facilities, taught by our staff, and you graduate with an LSE degree, not a University of London degree. But the University of London does have additional facilities that you can access that we can't offer ourselves. And one important point, because this is very significant in terms of the character of LSE, we are a single faculty institution. We teach only social science at LSE, so you won't find any arts or humanities subjects. There are no natural sciences at LSE. Everyone who studies with us, regardless of the department you're in, is a social scientist. Now, in terms of where our students come from, it's a very international institution. LSE, peculiar and different from other universities in many respects. This is perhaps the most obvious. 50% of our undergraduates come from the UK, but 50% come from either Europe or overseas. At the graduate level, just 19% of our students are from the UK, and the rest from overseas or Europe. So, as a student at LSE, you're going to have a fantastic social time. You're going to meet people from all over the world. You need perhaps need never buy a holiday ever again. You'll have friends all over the world that you can go and stay with. But academically, when you're sat in one of our classes here at the school, 75% of you come from different countries. That's quite feasible. You're going to learn a huge amount from each other from those different perspectives. And that's a very significant part of what LSE offers. Our teaching is predicated upon you all contributing to discussion and debate, and you do learn as much from each other as you do from the academic staff due to that international character. We have over 150 different countries represented in our student body. So whilst you're walking around our campus, it's a little like the United Nations. You hear many, many different languages, and no one stands out. We have no international office at LSE because so many of our students are international. In terms of how we teach and what we teach, all our degrees at LSE are 3 years long. A very traditional approach to education at the school, three-year degrees, and we follow a trimester structure. So 3 terms each year, 3 10-week terms. 10 weeks before Christmas, 10 weeks after Christmas, and then 10 weeks after Easter in the summer. We break down each year into 4 courses. You take 4 courses. 2, usually compulsory from the department that you're based in. So you have to take those. They're fundamental to your learning of the subject. 1, optional from within the department you're based in. And then the 4th course, 25% of what you're learning from outside the department, an optional course from a different subject area. And that includes languages. We have a language centre at the school. If you're interested in picking up or maintaining a foreign language, you can do that for credit as part of your final examined courses. We also have 1 compulsory course. Every undergraduate at LSE, regardless of what you're studying, will take LSE 100. You'll sit for this in the first year of your study here, the 2nd term of your 1st year, and the 1st term of your 2nd year. It's a multidisciplinary course. It cuts across the narrow boundaries of the degree that you're following. It's taught by some of our most eminent staff. designed to answer some of the big social science questions of the day. Why didn't we see the financial crisis coming? Things like that. Ultimately, it'll give you transferable skills that are attractive to employers and make you a more distinctive LSE graduate, so you really can compete more effectively in the jobs market. As I say, compulsory for all students. If you're interested in learning more, do go along to the LSE 100 information stand today. Back to your regular classes, we deliver the education through a mixture of lectures and classes. So for each course that you're taking, you'll generally have 1 hour of lectures a week and 1 hour of classes a week. So potentially just 8 contact teaching hours a week. A lecture involves everyone on a course. It could be quite large. An introductory economics lecture would be held in this theatre. You could have 600 or 700 people, and you simply sit, listen. You take notes. You wouldn't interact with the faculty, the professor. But in a class, we cap our classes at 15 students, deliberately small, because that's when you have to contribute and participate, and that's where the debate and the discussion takes place. Studying at LSE with potentially just 8, maybe 10 or 12 contact teaching hours a week is quite an independent experience. So do spend a little time thinking about how best you learn. How best do you study? And if you like studying on your own and independently going to the library and reading and researching because you're interested in the subject, fantastic. LSE will be for you. But you do need to be prepared to do that work on a self-motivated and independent basis. All of this leads at the end of the year to exams. 100%, I'm afraid, of your mark in most courses is based on a single 3-hour written paper that you sit in May and June. That's 4 exams at the end of the year. A couple of opportunities to study abroad at LSE. We have 10 exchange places with Sciences Po in France. So each year, 10 undergraduates from any discipline can apply to exchange with students from Sciences Po. And our law students, there is the opportunity, the possibility of studying at Columbia Law School in New York as well. Now, I do emphasise how independent you have to be at LSE, because that is important. You do have to be a self-starter, self-motivated to study at the school. But having said all of that, lots of my colleagues here only have jobs at LSE because you will have problems whilst you're at the school. It's important you have problems because if you don't, my poor colleagues are unemployed. We have to put them out on the street with nothing to do. So have a brief period of unhappiness. Share that with my colleagues. Move on from that. When they've helped you get over your misery, enjoy the rest of your time at the school. But remember, they are there for you to turn to. So departmental tutors, academic advisors in your department, a dean of undergraduate studies, the Student Services Centre, a one-stop shop for many of your queries, the Students Union, providing advice, counselling and welfare services, tier upon tier of people here to support you if you need it. We also provide very extensive provision for our disabled students. The individual student support agreements allow us to determine what accommodations we need to make to help you and which offices in the school are responsible for that. We have the neurodiverse support covering screening and assessment and the adjustments that we would need to make. So there's a lot of support there. I really do encourage you to alert us to any disability that you might have before coming so we can make those accommodations for you. In terms of fees, £9,000, of course, for UK and EU students, slightly more for our international students, £16,392. When the UK-EU fee went up a few years ago, we've used 50% of the additional fee income we generated to put into bursaries and student support. We have means-tested bursaries of up to £4,000 and a very significant scholarship programme as well for students. So I'd encourage you to apply for financial aid. If that is something you feel you need to do, do apply. Don't hesitate to do that. And today, take advantage of the Financial Support Office being here. Speak to the staff on their stand. Now, I did warn you right at the outset that an element of this presentation is trying to persuade those of you still deciding whether you accept our offer or not, why you should come to LSE. So this is the element of my presentation where I earn my money, essentially. This is the part when I have to try and persuade you, yes, you should come to the school. Why should you? Well, the first reason, the one we're happiest to tell you about, is that we're widely regarded as the world's leading dedicated social science institution. A fairly bold claim for us to make, quite a grand assertion on our part, perhaps, particularly in a city like London with many good universities. But it's not entirely made up. I've managed to manipulate various league tables to put ourselves in this position. So if you look at the world rankings, you'll see Harvard and Berkeley and Stanford and Oxford and LSE all up there at the top. But of course, of those institutions, LSE is the only one that teaches just social science, so we are the world's leading dedicated social science institution. A little tenuous, perhaps, but more seriously, we're very good, and more seriously, we base that position, that ranking, on two very firm foundations, you as students and our academic staff. Taking you as students, first of all, you've got offers to study at the school. You've not got those offers because of where you're from or because of your connections with the institution, your background. You've received offers from us quite simply because you are some of the very best students academically from anywhere around the world for the subjects that you want to study. So when you get to LSE, you're going to be surrounded by a passionate, enthusiastic, committed, intellectual student body. If you look at our alumni, indeed, those out there in the world now who studied at the school, you'll see presidents and prime ministers, captains of industry, heads of NGOs and charities who studied here at the school. That's the caliber of student that you'll be studying with here at LSE. I'm not saying you will all go on and become presidents and prime ministers in the future. You may. If you do, remember where you were today. But a few of you, perhaps. The academic staff. Of course, LSE's academic staff are very eminent. You may be familiar with some of them already. They're often on the TV. You'll hear them on the radio. You'll read about them in the printed press. They are at the very cutting edge, or the forefront of the social sciences, bringing the subjects to life. An important part of what LSE offers is our real-world focus. What those academics are delivering for you is based not just on books and very dry and dusty academic experience. It's based on what's going on in the real world. But a bit of a health warning at this stage. If you do come to LSE, it isn't a practical education you'll receive. It is a theoretical education in the sense that it's based on classroom work, lecture work, going to the library. It's not internships. It's not work experience. But our academics are all research active. LSE has the highest percentage of world-leading research of any British institution, second only to Cambridge overall for the quality of our research, and they have a much wider academic portfolio. So whilst your academics are out in the morning, they're looking at climate change, they're researching the Eurozone financial crisis, they're looking at conflict in the Middle East, they're coming to the classroom in the afternoon, and they're sharing with you their very up-to-date knowledge. It could be anything, a very wide range of different researchers at the school. They come, they share that knowledge with you. You go home. At the end of the day, you turn on the television news, and you have a unique insight into what's going on in the world, because your academics here at LSE were quite possibly intimately involved in helping shape those events. And that is part of the intangible buzz about LSE. When you're a student at LSE, one of the things which is most exciting and memorable about the institution is that you're studying somewhere that isn't just looking at these subjects, it is helping shape the subjects that you're studying. It actively affects the subjects that you're studying in the social sciences. Now, you've probably spotted that we're located in central London already, so I'm hoping that's not going to come as a surprise to any of you. And we're not just in London, we're in the very heart of the city. Socially fantastic. You will never, I'm pretty confident in saying, be bored as a student at LSE. You might well be very poor as a student at LSE, but you'll never be bored as a student here. Academically, on your doorstep are the institutions, the organisations that you are studying. So go out and make the most of them. City of London on one side of us, the Palace of Westminster on the other, and immediately next door to the Royal Courts of Justice. All there for you to go out to, meet the alumni, get internships perhaps in the summer vacation. We bring the outside world onto campus for you, so you don't always have to go off-site to meet these people. We run a very prestigious public lecture series here at LSE. Almost every night of the week during term time, various individuals from different walks of life come to the school and they speak to you, the staff, the public, free of charge because who you are. You're a good audience. You understand what they're talking about. They come because of who we are. But they come quite literally because of where we are. It is easy for these people to stop at LSE if they're passing through London briefly, and they don't tour around different institutions. So it's great added value, and often unique added value from studying at the school. Now, one of the best aspects of today, I hope, is that whilst you're on campus, you will be able to have a look around our facilities. You'll get to see what our campus is like, our very compact campus. campus. And you'll see some of our lovely new buildings, the brand new student centre next door, and you'll see some of our less nice accommodation as well. But you'll get a true picture for what's available. Some of the highlights from that. The library. Worth looking at the library. The British Library of Political and Economic Science, Europe's largest social science library, over 4 million printed volumes. Do have a look in there if you get a chance. Accommodation. This is really important. If you've got the time this afternoon, you go along, have a look at some of our accommodation. My recommendation would be Bankside House. It's such a lovely day. The walk beside the Thames to Bankside House is really very pleasant indeed. But Holborn, High Holborn, is a little bit closer if you're pressed for time. All first-year undergraduates, of course, are guaranteed a place in LSE or University of London housing. The Students' Union, housed next door in that new student centre, the Sorcery Hock Student Centre. The Students' Union at LSE runs the clubs and societies, which are so important in the social life of our students. We have 25 acres of playing fields at the school. We're not renowned for our sporting prowess. Our reputation was not built on sporting greatness at LSE, but we do own those 25 acres, not of central London, I hasten to add. If we owned 25 acres of central London, we'd be a very wealthy institution indeed, and we're not. So you do have to get a bus or a train to reach our playing fields. But we encourage you to really throw yourself into that social life of the school, because as a city university, as an urban campus, you do need to get involved in extracurricular activities to get as much out of the life here as possible. And just to highlight, 4 weeks of holiday at Christmas, 5 weeks of holiday at Easter, and your summer vacation will run from approximately the middle of June until the start of October. So you have approximately half a year on holiday and half a year ostensibly studying. It is not a bad deal. And finally, once you have finished studying at the school and perhaps you're looking to get a job, this is where LSE really comes into its own. LSE works with companies and firms, organisations, not just in London and the UK and Europe, but around the globe. And LSE graduates are very highly sought after. The Career Service will work with you from day one, if you wish, to help you prepare your CV and apply for positions, both part-time, full-time, on-campus, off-campus. 92% of LSE's graduates go on into either work or further study following graduation from the school. And a typical LSE graduate earns £9,000 more than the national average for a graduate student. So it puts yourself in a very good position. Studying at the school is an aid, a help, when you come to get employment afterwards. And you may be familiar with some of our alumni. Some of these faces you may have seen around. What I really want, of course, is in the future to add some of your names, your pictures up there as well. So if you, as I said before, do become famous in the future, do let me know and we'll pop you up on the screen for future students to gaze upon. Now, what's going to happen next? Well, you've got your offer. That's perhaps the most difficult component of the part of the process. What you now need to do is decide which is your firm choice institution, which is your insurance choice. I hope that LSE is your firm choice. If we are, you'll have a conditional offer from us in most cases. If you get the grades that we asked for in that conditional offer, the place is yours. It's a guarantee. You can come and study at the school. If when your results come out, if you're an A-level student, your results come out in mid-August, if when you get your results, you haven't obtained the grades we asked for in that conditional offer, you have technically missed that offer, you've lost the place. Therefore, it is very important that you work as hard as you possibly can now to get the grades that we asked for. If you've missed slightly, marginally, what we asked for, we will, where the potential exists for us to review your application again. But the simple advice here is to get the grades that we asked for and secure your place. We don't go into clearing. LSE hasn't been in clearing for a number of years, and we don't have places available in the adjustment period, so do bear that in mind. Now, assuming that you get the grades and you are going to come and join us in the future, accommodation opens on the 28th of September, so you would move into your accommodation on the 28th of September. The week following that is the orientation week, registration,